My father, a formal man but a kind one, calls me a certifiable eccentric. He can call me anything he wants, because it was he who provided me with the freedom and the means to do what I do now, which is to live in a great whitewashed barn in the hills above Cagnes, work during the winter on a history of architectural art, and in spring to take to the road with camera, sketchbooks, and canvases to provide another batch of up-to-date original illustrations. My father is Emil Strasburger, one of the most respected names in New York banking. I'm named Carl Emil. I am his only son. Our ancestors came from Alsace, where the business was founded in the mid-19th century to raise money for the Industrial Revolution in Europe. It is perhaps significant to our relations and to our history that I still call him, in the old-fashioned mode, father. I know he was sadly disappointed when I chose to break with tradition and follow the gypsy road of the arts. Yet, gentleman that he is, he gave me my liberty on a golden dish. I would retain my shareholding in the company, which would pay me enough in dividends to maintain me in bachelor comfort. The position reserved for me in the company, and on the board, would pass to my sister Madeline's husband, Lawrence Lucas. Harvard educated in commercial law, co-opted immediately after graduation into the rising band of hopefuls at Strasburger & Company in New York. My father liked Larry, and more importantly, admired him. In his second year at Harvard, both his parents had been killed in an automobile accident. He was left with a modest legacy and a few distant relatives who lived on the West Coast. Somehow, he had managed to survive the ordeal and finish his courses with high commendations and a promising future. On his marriage to Madeline, my father endowed him with a directorship and a parcel of shares. My sister, Madeline, made her way, as my mother did, with a quiet grace of care and authority. I treasured them both. They were, after all, my passport to the life I had chosen. It was a good life, if a completely selfish one. I was 37 years old. I had income to cover all my reasonable needs. I had work that pleased me and earned me both money and a reputation that was growing quietly among a small but influential group of connoisseurs. I liked the rustic life, which kept me healthy and my table well supplied. I had a 30-foot sloop riding at a safe mooring in Antibes. I had an agreeable and intelligent friend, one Arlette Tassigny, who ran one of the best galleries in Nice, with an impressive list of patrons and a stable of respectable talent. She was good-looking, good-tempered, and could summon up a party before you could murmur, Matisse.